All set?
I'm all set. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, perfect. Good. So I'm back to talk to you all about NCI puts. Consistent with the board's requests, last May, the Interpretations Committee published a draft interpretation on the accounting for NCI puts. Specifically, that draft interpretation responded to concerns about diversity in practice for the subsequent measurement of those instruments. As you know, some believe that those changes should be recognized in P&L, while others believe that they should be recognized directly in equity. The draft interpretation clarified that under existing IFRS, all such changes should be recognized in P&L. The comment period ended last October, and we received 68 comment letters. As discussed in the agenda paper, responses were mixed. There were four primary views expressed. First, the draft consensus provides the correct interpretation of IFRS. Second, the draft consensus reflects the existing IFRS requirements. However, those requirements do not result in useful information. Third, the draft consensus sets out only one possible interpretation of IFRS, and another is that changes in the measurement of an NCI put must be recognized directly in equity. And finally, the fourth view was that the accounting depends on the facts and circumstances. In addition to commenting on the proposed consensus, many respondents asked for guidance on other issues related to the accounting for NCI puts, such as which component of equity should be debited when the NCI put is initially recognized. In January, the committee discussed a summary and analysis of the comments received. It reaffirmed that under existing IFRS, the liability that is recognized for an NCI put must be subsequently measured in accordance with IS 39 and IFRS 9, and both require changes to be recognized in P&L. However, consistent with concerns that it expressed in 2011, the committee questioned the usefulness of that accounting and said that better information would be provided if NCI puts were measured on a net basis at fair value. Therefore, the committee asked us to report to you its views and to ask you how you would like to proceed. So as we've pointed out in the paper, we think there are at least three alternatives for moving forward. First, you could ask the committee to finalize the draft interpretation. Second, you could ask the committee to delay finalizing that interpretation, and instead you could decide to reconsider the requirements for puts and forwards on own equity. And of course, you could decide to do that either now or after the elements work and the conceptual framework has progressed further. Or third, you could do a combination of both. That is, you could ask the committee to finalize the interpretation urgently and then also consider the requirements in IS 32 over the long term. In paragraph 14 of the paper, we've listed some factors that you might wish to consider. So the question for you is set out after paragraph 16, and that is, how would you like to proceed with this issue?
Philippe, I would like to put this afternoon's discussion in the light of our discussion yesterday about the elements and Peter's proposal, Peter's explanations. On the liability equity distinction, and it seems to me that if we were to ask the IFRIC to confirm its interpretation, it might in the short term result in some lesser diversity in practice. But at the same time, we give an indication that overall our thinking of the right solution is different, and this would be consistent with IFRIC's view that it's not the right solution. I'm not sure we would really help our constituents by forcing them to apply immediately and with retrospective effect an interpretation, at the same time putting some doubt on the validity of this interpretation for the future, because we're opening up different ways of thinking for the future. I think it would put both preparers, users, and probably enforcement authorities in a rather difficult situation to having to change now, for some of them, their current practice, with a view that they may well have to change again in the future. So I think that this idea, proposal in paragraph 13C, to do both, that is to confirm the interpretation and to open up the subject, which might mean to change, in the end, the real standard, the final standard, is certainly not the best solution I think of. I think to force a solution immediately might be responsive to certain demands we have received from enforcers. However, if we are not very comfortable with the quality of the outcome, I think it's not the best thing to do. So my proposal is to say let's do the right thing we should do, that is to open up and our standards level and solve it as we should solve it, because the problem is not interpretation, the problem is the standards themselves, which are kind of conflicting between the older view IS-32 and the most recent view, which result from the changes we made to consolidation. So I'm in favor of solution B, 13B, which is to say, okay, let's accept that some diversity might continue for some time, yes, but that's for the good of having a real good solution in the end, rather than having an interim phase of less diversity but not useful information.
I think we should finalize the interpretation as proposed. I think putting it off because we might adopt some changes to the conceptual framework, which might lead to a standards level project that might change our view about whether this results in a liability and whether the change in the value of that liability goes to profit and loss or equity, is speculation. And if we're going to wait till the conceptual framework is completed before we do any repairs and maintenance to the existing standards, I think we're not following what the constituents asked us to do in our agenda consultation, where they seemed to want us to focus on repairs and maintenance to the existing standards and work on the conceptual framework. So I wouldn't put this off. I think it is the right answer, and I think it gives useful information.
Wade?
Well, I just wanted to clarify the views that were taken by the Interpretations Committee. We asked them two questions. Number one, do you continue to take the view that this is a correct interpretation of IAS 32? I think there was one dissenting vote on that. We then ask, do you think this is the better view? The view of the Interpretations Committee was unanimous. They were also presented...
They were unanimous in saying this is the right view.
No, they were unanimous in saying that the net presentation that they had taken to you as a proposal before they wrote that you told them to write this interpretation was the superior accounting. Treat these things as you would any other derivative financial instrument. And that view was unanimous. That's why we're here today. The committee was also given the alternative of issue the interpretation while asking the board to simultaneously take on work. I don't recall there being any support for that alternative. They said, you know, we've got to deal with this thing or not. Do nothing is always an alternative, but we've got to deal with it. We can't issue an interpretation that we fully expect would be reversed in the near term. So their preference clearly was net accounting, straight derivative accounting, as you would any other derivative, at fair value through P&L. Since most NCI puts are commonly at their fair value puts, the fair value of the derivative is effectively zero. So that was the conversation that we had at the Interpretations Committee.
Darrell?
I guess I'm supporting Philippe to an extent. It seems to me, and it sort of comes back to a little bit to what Wayne said, I appreciate that we've got diversity in practice out there at the moment, but one of the previous discussions we had, I think at some point yesterday, we talked about RBS's accounts and how applying correct accounting was leading to a result that didn't make sense to anybody who was looking at those results. Now, my concern here is that we have exactly the same potential situation that we'll be going out and obliging companies to follow a set of accounting that, at the very least, the Interpretations Committee, which has discussed it at length, feels does not correctly reflect the economics of the situation. So it seems to me that, if we could possibly do a short-term solution or a quick solution to this, then we should be doing that. But the worst thing we can do here is to do harm by forcing a practice that we don't necessarily stand behind, we don't necessarily believe is the correct economic representation of the underlying results.
Mary?
I think I am suggesting consideration of a variant of B, which goes back to the Interpretation Committee's recommendation for net accounting, derivative accounting. When I read 13B, I read it as a suggestion that we fast-track a sweeping amendment to IAS 32 that would say all derivatives on all equity be treated as derivatives. And I think there's a narrower fix that is responsive to the problem that has been raised to treat all derivatives on all puts or forwards on NCI as you would other derivatives, and taking action that just restricts it to that narrower population. It's not to say we can't at some point in future think again, but for the reasons expressed around the beginning of the thinking that we were discussing yesterday in the conceptual framework, I wouldn't want to look at all derivatives on own equity until we are further with that project. I think we'd have to face that the result would be that a claim on the resources of the asset for the of the entity for the gross amount, because these are gross settled, would not be reflected as a liability. If the fair value is nil or small, it might be a thousand of claim for a value of two.
Can disclose.
Right. And that is a problem, but I think to get a unanimous recommendation of the Interpretation Committee after they've been around the houses how many times is a pretty significant indication to me of concern about driving forward. So I would tend to encourage pursuing the more limited version of 13B.
And we are very close to being able to do that. We would essentially be bringing back to you the proposal that you had several months ago, plus some additional work, some additional issues that Liz has identified.
So. Which the board rejected at the time, and one of the concerns the board had at the time was we could justify doing it on the basis of the scope that Mary suggested, in the sense that it responds to the practical issues that have been raised to us, but at the time the board had concerns with scoping because there was no conceptual basis for saying that NCI puts were special compared with own equity. I guess I understand the position of the Interpretations Committee, and I understand that many of our interested parties share concerns about having this gross liability reflected when there's an obligation to take something back at fair value. But I would very much make a plea to the board that if we go down the path of coming up with derivative accounting, particularly if the main focus is on puts that are at fair value, where by definition the fair value will be zero or something close to zero, that 32, I think, tries to, in a sense, warn users that this equity isn't really very permanent. It's showing you that you've got an obligation, if somebody chooses to exercise it, to make you pay out money. Mm-hmm. And so I think at a minimum we'd want some pretty good disclosures to warn people that this equity sitting on the balance sheet may go away and that I may have a claim for cash.
And on that, I think NCI puts are a separate class of entity and NCI is a separate class of equity. Really separate class of instrument that is presented.
Not under the entity theory. I mean, I agree with you. It's the parent theory, but that's not the view of the IASB.
Yeah. But it's...
Nevertheless.
I was going to say, let me check, but I think is required to be presented separately.
At least disclosed, I think.
Yeah.
Disclosed.
Yeah.
Stephen?
I think the worst thing we could do would be to finalize the interpretation as currently written. I think it provides bad information, it's wrong, and I think it would damage our reputation, so we shouldn't do that. I think my preferred solution would be to do it through equity, the one minority view on the interpretation committee. That would be my approach. I think it's a valid interpretation, but I bow to the superior knowledge of the interpretation committee and say, okay, well, maybe that's not going to happen. So my next best alternative is the net. I didn't like it when it first came up for the reasons that people have mentioned, but I think if we're going to do something to reduce the diversity in the short term pending a major project, then that is the way to go. However, I would scope it extremely narrowly because I would only do it for the fair value puts, which is where the problem lies, and I would do the disclosure.
So, Stephen, do you not think that actually doing it for fixed price puts would be even more important?
No.
Because those are ones where you are locked in and potentially have an outflow of value there.
Yeah, so keep them gross.
Okay. But you don't then reflect in the income statement the deterioration in the economics of that contract that you've signed
up
to.
Nor do we for any other puts. Why single out the NCI puts for different treatment compared with other puts on own equity?
Oh, sure. Yes. No, I would agree with that.
Can I try to reduce that?
In my view, when the put is exercised, it's a non-reciprocal transfer. Because it is its own equity, and what it's getting back is its own equity, there isn't any inflow of resources. Because, as we all agreed yesterday, the company's equity is not a resource.
But are the shareholders worse off? As a result of exercising the put, are the parent company shareholders worse off?
Yes.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are, because they had those assets to begin with. But under the entity, you're talking about the parent company shareholders, but we take an entity view. I'm happy to go with parent company view of accounting.
But
that's not the way we view this. We view it as the entity, and the entity is not getting in any resources.
That's fine. So if it's an entity view, then it's a wealth transfer between two groups of shareholders, and therefore it should go direct to equity. It can't go through the P&L if you take that entity view.
Once they can put their shares back, it's no longer equity.
It's not a wealth transfer.
That's the 32 perspective.
That's the 32 perspective.
So I'm taking an IFRS 10 perspective.
I don't know what I have to understand. That's a mistake.
This debate just confirms my view, and I think I'm with Kat. You know, everybody's saying we can just do a short-term, narrow scope, quick fix. We're discussing this in concepts right now. Peter's been giving his papers. We haven't agreed on those. Concepts is going to September 2015 before we come to a conclusion. That's another 2.5 years. And then we have to think about how it affects the standard. We have a standard, IAS 32. Seems to me the Interpretation Committee appear to be comfortable that they've given a correct interpretation. People don't like the result, but that's our standard. And for us, and you can just tell by this argument, once we open this up and start debating how we're going to change 32, we'll have all sorts of arguments. I think we've got to take the interpretation and wait.
You mean implement the interpretation as written?
Yes.
But how would you explain the gains and losses that appear in the income statement?
Well,
because you're remeasuring a liability.
Well, that's mechanically how you explain them.
There's more cash that'll flow out of the entity.
They aren't gains and losses.
I don't think we can resolve this, honestly.
No, that's why I don't think we should try.
There you go.
I support B, but don't support to finish it urgently. I think you don't wait for the completion of conceptual framework. I don't think it's acceptable. You know, I agree with Ian. And, but.
No, I think it is acceptable to wait.
Huh? Pardon?
I think it is acceptable to wait. Not that it isn't acceptable.
But you say that you won't take this to finalize the proposal, the ED. No, I don't think it is reasonable, you know, as some others say, you know. I think, you know, if we do want to take approach B, and as I said, I don't think we should try to solve it, you know, expeditiously. And three reasons. First one, scope. You know, you suggest narrow down as narrow as possible. But we got so many diversified views. People will say, you know, why you want to narrow down this way? And I think we have to discuss, you know. And secondly, you know, the staff already pointed out a few related issues we have to solve. And finally, you know, we have to find a theoretical foundation. You know, some of us accept, you know, or support a net approach, but, you know, the Patricia and others strongly against. We have to find a strong basis. And if possible, to, you know, in line with the conceptual framework reasons. But I don't think, you know, pure weight is a good choice.
Now, if most of the board choose for B, why didn't we tell IFRIC to begin with? I mean, what is going on here? This is another example of going back and forth. We're asking if it's
not the concern with the scope. We don't like the
scope.
Unfortunately, we keep giving the poor interpretations committee mixed messages, I think. So we asked them originally to go away and come up with a solution, and they did that diligently and came back with a suggestion for how they could scope this that was quite neat in the sense it was quite inobtrusive into the bigger structure of 32. At the time, the board discussed it and they were concerned about the appropriateness of the scope. And I think from memory, Liz, unintended consequences and how you deal with things that weren't just linked to fair value, but also other things being embedded in it. And so on balance, for a variety of reasons, the board decided not to proceed and went back to the committee and said, we don't want to do that.
We really cannot continue working like this with it.
Well, I have promised the committee that they will never see this again.
And I think the committee will hold Wayne to that promise. Liz, you wanted to add something?
No, I was just going to say that I agree with you. I mean, I think when we brought this to the board the last time, and I think that was in 2011 with the recommendation from the committee, and as Sue said, I think it was quite an elegant recommendation. It was very clearly scoped with the outcome that the committee agreed on. I mean, I think the board at the time had a lot of different concerns about it, and one of the most significant concerns was scoping it. But I think another very significant concern was whether that gave you the right answer and what it would mean for other instruments within the scope of IS-32, like putable shares, and whether you could think about standalone puts in isolation without also at the same time considering what that meant for putable shares.
Why don't we follow the wisdom of this interpretation committee, which has been working quite hard on this matter? They have a clear recommendation. Let's do it.
Well, I think, if I may, if you go for Plan B or Plan B, today is not the day to work out the details. That would have to be, as Liz's memo says, in a follow-up meeting. So what we're asking today is for a decision on which you want to do, but it is at your feet now, because the committee has taken the two possible routes. They have significant concerns about the gross approach, and so they're leaving it to you to decide.
But I think it's quite important, of course, possible to give some kind of indication to you whether all of us prefer, you know, finish it as quick as possible, you know, with narrow scope, or, you know, maybe some of us say waiting for the completion of the conceptual framework, or I'm in the middle. You see. It's quite important, you know. Otherwise,
but I think you do not have before you the material you would need to make that decision, Michael. The question is, do you want the committee to finalize this interpretation, recognizing that I anticipate that at least four of you will object So we are perilously close to losing the interpretation if we follow that approach.
But it's a negative word, right, for the FNIC?
But if you object, that's negative. And so, yeah,
how many negatives can we live with?
We have to approve it positively, the same as the
Yeah, you have to approve it positively. It's an object to an exposure draft, but you have to approve it positively.
Once it's finalized.
So in conversations with you, I already know of four of you who would object. There are also concerns about whether it would be endorsed in its current form need to be considered. But my point is, we can't fine-tune alternative B today because you do not have the material in front of you to make those judgments.
Okay, let's see who can support A, which is basically to ask IFRIC to finalize its draft.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, so then who is in favor of alternative B?
Eight.
Well, that's a promising start.
Yeah, I would be B as well.
There's nine.
Okay, that's what we do. But I really, first of all, I find this extraordinarily difficult to understand in substance to begin with. But secondly, I'm getting increasingly uncomfortable about the way that we work with IFRIC. I think we are often too fickle, and now we are getting into some, hopefully, a clear direction. Why didn't we take that a year ago and send IFRIC on a mission impossible? Really, this is really no way of working with the Interpretations Committee. We use it too often, I think, as a sort of a waiting room for difficult, as a sort of an OCI solution.
Parking.
This is parking.
Yeah, but this is not a very good process.
It's not a board.
Here forward, then, this we will work this as a board exercise.
Yes, so yes. We'll go away and do work and bring.
Yes. Okay.
Can I just ask a question? I've just reread this. Two in the question. Reconsider IS-32 for put options forwards written on an entity's own equity. Is that all puts and forwards or just NCI puts and forwards?
That's the thing. I don't want to debate that today. Yeah. You're not in a position to. Our preference would be to keep it NCI puts and forwards as we did in the earlier proposal. But I don't think we can debate that today. I don't think you have the material.
So the vote that we've just taken isn't an instruction for you to go away and reconsider everything?
I think what we should do, and Liz, chip in if you want to, but given that one of the main questions that came up when we brought the committee's recommendation last time was the appropriateness of the scope, I think we need to look at the positives and negatives again of the way that it's scoped. We may recommend something narrower than own equity, but we'll need to look at how we would justify that and what the consequences would be. Is that fair, Liz?
I think that's what the Interpretations Committee asked us to suggest to the board. So to sort of leave it open, but also take a look at whether it's appropriate to only look at NCI derivatives.
And this being an exception, there might not be a conceptual reason. It's just an exception.
Okay, this brings us to the end of this month's board meeting. I close the meeting.